This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Marriages today that are in trouble, many. And the statistics are also very bad when it comes to marriage. And one of the things that is concerning for me, and I'm sure for some of you as well, is today we begin to wonder why, what is really the purpose of marriage if marriages are doomed to fail, as it were. Statistics have shown, and is increasing, that one of every two marriages is going to fail. And this statistics is even worse in the church. Not so much out there anymore, for a simple reason. Instead of people getting married now, they just decide to shack up together. And if you were never married, you cannot be divorced. Amen? So people just live together now, but we as children of God, we don't do that. We do the right thing. That's why we are waiting for the verdict, because we know they have not been knowing each other in that manner. Praise the Lord. So, for the world, the statistics look like it's improving, but it's not improving. The only reason it seems to be improving is because people out there are no longer getting married. As a matter of fact, somebody was telling me, say, oh, I know somebody is already engaged to be married, but he doesn't have any plans of getting married soon. I said they are having sex together. That's why he doesn't have any plans to get married. You know, because if they were abstinent, right, they will have a date in view so that we can begin to enjoy the benefits of marriage. And that is not the plan of God for our lives. Amen. One of the reasons I have seen why marriages are failing, obvious reason, you might say, is because we have not taken seriously what has been given to us freely. The Bible is God's word to us. The Bible is God's word to me. The Bible is God's word to you. Amen? And the Bible is supposed to be the navigation system for our lives. The Bible is supposed to give my life and your life direction, and that includes my marriage. So my marriage is not built on psychology. My marriage is not built on the popular culture. My marriage is built on the Word of God. We had a panel discussion in church earlier on this year when we were talking about prenuptial agreement. Is it proper for Christians to have prenup agreement? And I concluded that session by saying, God already gave us a prenuptial agreement before we got married. If you go read Ephesians 5, which we'll be reading, Ephesians 5, you read from 21 to 33, that is the prenup agreement that God has given us. If marriages will be lived based on the principles of God, if marriages will be lived based on the word of God, we will have a different outcome. Can somebody say a good amen to that? So one of the problems is we live our lives without regard to God's word. God's word is God in himself. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, in the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14, it says, so the word became human and made his home amongst us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Amen? So when we talk about the Word of God, when we talk about the Bible, when we talk about the Scripture, the Word of God is God himself. Amen? So when I live my life, or I conduct my marriage, I live out my marriage by the word of God, it means I'm following God. I'm following God. Whatever God says is okay, that's what I do. Whatever God says is not okay, I don't do it. I don't touch it. I praise the Lord. So I want to start today by saying, that God will never, 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 he will never ask us to do anything he knows we are not capable of doing. So if God introduced marriage, it means we are capable of sustaining marriage. It means we are able to do it. One of the things people suggest as you talk to them is, I think I married the wrong person. No, you did not. Because you are already married. It's too late for that now. All we need to do is to prayerfully see how you can forge the way forward. Praise the Lord. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. What I'm going to do very quickly, I will summarize parts 1 and 2 so that the rest of us. So in part 1, the introduction, we said the job of the man is to go on a hunt. The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. We said a wife is a treasure that needs to be discovered. Number 2, we said a godly perspective will change your marriage. If you apply godly principles that you're learning to your life and your married life, things will change for the better. And number 3, we said marriage is not just a thing. Marriage is serious in the sight of God. And marriage is serious in the sight of man too. Praise the Lord. And we talked about the 3 C's of marriage: contract, commitment, and covenant. And number 4, we said God's purpose for your marriage is 3 things. That's how we are building this sermon series. We're building it around these 3 things: one flesh, godly seed, and fruitfulness. So last week we talked about the man's role. And in talking about the man's role in one flesh, I said that the number one duty of the man in marriage is leadership. Can everybody say leadership? The man is supposed to lead his family. And we said this leadership is not a leadership of dominance, that I'm the boss of you. It's not a boss, it's a servant leader. And we see the example from the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in leading, we said the man protects, the man provides, the man loves his wife, as Ephesians 5 tells us. And then we talked about raising a godly seed. Because in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, it says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and in spirit, you are his. And what does he want? What does God want from your marriage? What does God requires from your marriage? Very simple. The scripture answers it for us. You say, what does God require? What does he want? Godly children from your union. And we said it is the sole prerogative of the man to ensure that the children are raised and brought up in the way of the Lord. And we give the example of Abraham. God addressed Abraham one-on-one and told him, this is what you must do. Amen. The man must be the pastor, the teacher, the priest. Amen. In his own house. So if you are not learned yet in the things of the scripture, in the things of God, it is important that you start looking into the scripture so you can give your family the kind of leadership God expects of you. Praise the Lord. So today, very quickly, we will look at the woman's role. We will look at the woman's role. For the husband and wife to truly become one flesh and raise godly children and be fruitful, the number one requirement is that the wife must submit to her husband. Submission. Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through 23. He says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. The qualifier is very important. He says, not only are you submitting to your husband, you are submitting to him as you submit to Jesus. He says, this means that wives must submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. He could have just left it without adding that other part to it, verse 22. The scripture could simply tell us, for wives, this means submit to your husbands, period. But he says, as to the Lord, and this is New Testament for the Old Testament folks. They'll say, oh, no, that's Old Testament. We are New Testament. Thank you. This is New Testament. Amen. He says the submission of the wife to her husband can be likened to how we, the church, ought to submit to Christ. The word submission, the word submit in the New Testament, there's two words, two Greek words that is translated submit. One of them, there's no point in me pronouncing it. I will butcher the word, you know, and you will not understand it. So why do we need to waste each other's time? So let's just know that there are two words. One of them means to, when you submit, you are subordinating yourself to someone else. By an act of your will and your choice, you are not made to it, you are not made to do it, but because you have the fear of the Lord, because you know what the scriptures have instructed you, therefore you subordinate yourself to your husband. It also means to reflexively obey. It means your submission is like a reflex to you. If you throw something at me now, guess what? I'm not going to say, let me see if you will hit my head or not. As it's coming, as this stone is coming, let me see. No. As it's coming, I dodge my head. It's a reflex. If I didn't say that just now and I went, she would have reacted. But she didn't react because she knew what I said already. And then I think she trusts me too. Pastor will not slap me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It should be a reflex. As the wife, you just, it's a reflex for you. It's not something, oh, let me see if what he's saying makes sense. That's not what the scripture has said. The scripture said that when you submit, the word submit there, it means to reflexively obey involuntarily. You just know that that's the right thing to do. It has become a part of your life and a part of your nature. The other word that is translated submit means to yield. To yield. And I talked about this a couple of months ago in the church. You know, to yield, it means, most of us here drove here today. If you didn't drive here, somebody drove you and you understand driving, right? When you get to a yield sign, you're driving and you get to a yield sign, what do? You slow down. If there's an oncoming vehicle, you let them go. Is it because your car is inferior to the other car? It's just obedience to law. You are yielding. So to yield, it doesn't mean the woman is less human than the man. Amen. You are just obedient to the word of God. That is the instruction scripture has given us. Why? Everybody look up. Anything, I don't care what it is, anything that has two heads is a monster. So in your marriage, if you have two heads, that's a monster marriage. That's a description of a two-headed dragon. Both of them spitting fire. Somebody has to be in charge. In the aircraft, even though you have two pilots, only one pilot is in command. Even though the other one can do everything this one can do, if the one in command suddenly decides to have heart attack and die, the other one will continue and land the plane. I praise the Lord. So when you yield, it doesn't make you inferior. That's not what the scripture is talking about. The scripture is saying the right thing for you to do so that we can have order. So we can have order is the man is the head and the woman submits to the head. Listen to me. Everything as I'm moving and I'm gesticulating and I'm doing everything I'm doing, guess what? The instructions is coming from my head, my brain. My brain is what is telling my leg what to do. My brain is judging the height and is telling me how to come off. If this was higher than this, my brain will adjust everything. The doctors will know what I'm talking about. It adjusts everything. That's how you function. That's how we live. So instructions come from the head. If my hand decides to move as it chooses and pleases, there will be a problem. You know? So it means if I want to shake her, if my hand is not taking instruction from my head, I will go like this to shake her. I will go too far. I will stretch too far. Or I will not stretch long enough. Why? Instruction comes from the head. So in marriage, the man is the head of his family. And the role of the woman to ensure that this body works together as one is to submit to the authority of the husband. Somebody is saying in their heart, Pastor, you don't know my husband. I didn't choose him for you. You chose him. Praise the Lord. Oh, say, Pastor, you don't know my husband. Though. I don't know him. You're right. But I did not choose him for you. You yourself, by yourself, said, yes, I do. Once you have said, yes, I do, you have said yes to follow. You cannot now say, yes, I do, and come back and say, no, I can't take it. You will take it. You chose him. Nobody chose him for you. Praise the Lord. So for those that are not yet married, make sure you want the one you have chosen, you can follow. If you can't follow him, don't marry him. That is why we have divorce today. Because some women are married to men that they refuse to follow. You are out of sync with God. You are out of sync with God. Hallelujah. If you want to clap, clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. And for the women that are saying, Pastor, this is too much. I'm sorry. Last Sunday, we spoke to the men. And yesterday, where's Pastor Ebukun? Put your hands together for Pastor Ebukun. He told it as it is yesterday. So for those that had yesterday about the men, women, this is your own turn now. Hear this. Hear this. Colossians chapter 3, 18 to 21. The Bible says, again, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. So he's saying, if you say you belong to Jesus, the right thing for you to do is to submit to your husband. Amen? You notice he didn't qualify it. He didn't say, wives, submit to your righteous husband because you chose him. That's why he's not qualifying it. He didn't say, wives, submit to your loving husband. No. You have settled that already by marrying him. Amen. Because I know there were many others that were checking you out. You know, and prayerfully, I hope, you said this is the one. Let's put our hands together for husband and wife. We have a question for you. Just go and sit down. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? So, he says, wives, submit unto your own husbands. Let me tell you something. I'm a pastor. I can say this. I have observed that some women, they submit more to their pastor in church than to their own husband. That is not the plan of God. I can say that because I'm a pastor. Amen? That is not the plan of God for marriage. That is not the purpose of God for marriage. That is why before you marry, you pray. So I'm just only going to submit to a God-fearing husband. Make sure you marry a God-fearing husband. If you didn't marry a God-fearing husband, that one that you married, you must submit to him. Hallelujah. Some people are not liking me. That's okay. I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to speak the truth. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Ephesians 5, 24. As the church, listen close. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands. Excuse me. In a lot of things. In many things. In everything. Can we say everything together? Everything. Because I know we are all, you know, educated, wonderful, great people. We can read, we understand. He says, as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your own husband, the one you chose to marry. You submit to him in everything. Including money. He said, but pastor, you don't know my husband. I don't. You married him. You knew him like that and you married him. So go submit to him. That's the instruction of Christ to us. Very quickly, because of our time. Number two. So the blank you have there is respect. So how do we forge this one flesh? How do we raise godly children? How do we have a fruitful marriage? Number two is wives, respect your husband. Respect your husband. Ephesians 5:33, it says, so again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. Some people don't love themselves. And the wife must respect her husband. Amen? The wife must respect her husband. I want us to read the Bible and read slowly and read with the intent to understand. It didn't say, and wife could respect their husband. Or wife should, or wife would, or no, nothing like that. It's a wives must. It's a command. Thank you very much. It's a command. It's a wife must respect her husband. Listen, I'm a man, and I'm a husband of 20 years plus. I can tell you this. Almost every man here will agree with me here today. The one thing that breaks a man the most is to be dishonored. 90% of the time when there's a problem in marriage, what the man is complaining about when you hear him out is, she's disrespectful. She doesn't honor me. That's all. Why? Because that is just the genetic makeup of men. That's the way God has created men. It's respect. 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 You know, wives, the Bible says you must. Look at your neighbor, preach to them, say, wives. Even if it's a man, don't worry. They will go preach it to their husband and their wife at home. Say, wives, respect your husbands. That is a command of scripture. That's what the scripture says. Remember what I said. A godly perspective will transform your marriage. If the husbands would take leadership and become the spiritual leader of the family, and the woman will submit to her husband and respect her husband, a lot of the problems we have will disappear. Amen? They say the way to the man's heart is his stomach. It may not be true for some men. It is true for me. It is true for me. When I get home, my wife knows this. I want to be the king in my palace. You don't serve me and just serve me anyhow. The whole thing has to be decorated on a tray with everything, with water, everything. So when I sit down, I just eat. But that food is going like expressway. And when I'm eating, my wife also knows this. I like for her to sit there. we don't eat together because I'm a fast eater. Before she swallows one, I have swallowed like five. So if she's waiting for me, she will be hungry. You know, but I like for her to just be there when I'm eating. You know, so she sits with me at the table, and she loves to watch me eat too because I'm a good eater. When I eat, I eat. You know, so she just sits there just enjoying the view. Amen. Wives, respect your husbands. Respect your husband. Let's go to the third point very quickly because of time. Be a helper to your husband. Don't be a burden to him. Be a helper. You know, don't let your husband see your phone call and begin to think, what again? Be what? A helper. Because in the beginning, that was why God created woman. In the beginning, the Bible says God looked at the man that he had created and he said, it is not good for him to be alone. He said, I will therefore create for him a helpmeet suitable for him. Not a helpmeet that will burden his life. That every remembrance of his wife is, oh Lord God. Oh Lord God. No, it ought not to be so. Amen. How do I respect my husband? How do I help him? Have confidence in his priesthood. You know, a lot of people, listen to me, everybody please look up, especially if you're married. Never, ever, ever, your husband is teaching you something, you say, Pastor XYZ says something better. You just wounded him. Praise the Lord. You just wounded that man. He may not be a bishop yet. He may not be a Bible teacher yet. If he's making an attempt, respect that and honor him. Say, oh, sweetheart, I like that. You know, I didn't see that way before. You may disagree with what he's saying, but it doesn't make you right. You didn't hear that. Some people will get it on the way home. Listen, the fact that you disagree with me does not mean I'm wrong and you are right. We may have a difference of opinion, and it may just be that I'm right and you are wrong. Amen? So the way you show respect and honor for your husband, if he's at least making an attempt to take the reins of priesthood in the home, honor that and respect that and show him that what he's doing is important to you. Listen to me. Men love to be needed. Amen? He said, I'm a self, I'm an independent, I got this, I can do it. I don't need anybody for anything. Keep on living, you will find out. Because after a while, he's just going to leave you and let you do everything. And then you begin to complain, my husband doesn't show me love. My husband doesn't, why? You already told him, I got this. If you got it, what do you want me to do? Nothing, there's nothing I can do. So you got it, keep on getting it. Keep on guarding it. Amen. Show your husband that at least I have limitation. Oh, sweetheart, can you help me with this? Sweetheart, I'm having trouble with this. You know, let me give you an example. My wife, I met her in this country. She's been long in this country, over 3 decades. But whenever I'm present, she doesn't want to think about anything. Honey, this, honey, that, I say, this is your country now. These are your people. I met you here, but you are here now. Praise the Lord. He makes the man feel good. She needs me. Amen? She needs me. She needs me. So even if it is within your ability to do, why don't you just get spoiled by your husband? Listen. You know, the ones that have been married a long time, they are looking at me and say, you don't know my guy. Say, what's wrong with your hand? What's wrong with your mouth? They say, open the door. Eh? What's wrong? Is your, are you handicapped? You can't open the door by yourself for yourself? Say, ah, honey, just do it for... Do, turn it to a joke. Turn it to something you both can laugh about. Don't make it a fight. Don't say, oh, don't you see this couple, how they opened door for themselves? Are they you? Are you there? Praise the Lord. So don't make it about somebody else. Make it about the both of you. Say, baby, baby, just do it now, baby. Make it fun. Make it fun. Don't fight over the things you fight about. It is not worth fighting over. Praise the Lord. Finally, I'm going to stop there because of time. Love your husbands, wives. I know when we read Ephesians 5, we just focus on husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Titus chapter 2, verse 4 is addressing older women in church. It says they must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Amen? So it's not just for the man to love his wife. The woman must also love her husband. Listen to me. PDA, if you have license, is acceptable. I wonder, you know, we tell our young people, before they get married, no fornication. And many of them, by the grace of God, have kept the faith. No fornication. No sex before marriage. Right? And now they are married. They are now showing affection to one another in public. You say, can you imagine? That's disgusting. What's disgusting? Before you said they couldn't do anything. Now they have license. You still say they can't. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? You say, how can he be grabbing her like that in public? Is he your wife? Leave them alone. Let them live their life. Let them express love as they deem fit. My wife can grab me, hold me as she chooses and pleases. You know, a lot of times people ask me, ah, Pastor, how are you coping? I say, coping with what? Do I look stressed? I'm not stressed. You know, the way she is the way I like her. Yeah. And praise the Lord. In fact, sometimes I'm the one even giving her more. I like it. Do more of it. You know, but my face, you know my serious face. But in the background, I'm giving her fire. But praise the Lord. Wives, love your husbands. If you can't love your husband, who do you want to love? Amen? He said, I just love Jesus. I just love Jesus. Love Jesus, so it's good. It's good. But trust me, what your husband can do for you. The bride of Jesus is the church. He will do what he will do with his church. Your wife, only you can do it. Wives, nobody can do it. You hear me? What Akintayo can do for you, nobody. Look behind you. Your name has changed. Mrs. Irewole, we have to qualify it now when we say Mrs. Irewole. Mrs. April Irewole. Put your hands together. Praise the Lord. Please, let's rise to our feet. I want everybody, whether married or not, just lift up your hands to heaven and say, Lord Jesus, here is my life. Take me and use me for your glory. Help me. I have had some difficult things today. Difficult for me to do. But by your grace, I can do all things. through Christ who strengthens me. Why don't you talk to the Lord for about a minute or so? Say, Lord, help me. Help me that my life will honor you. My life will glorify you. As a single person, that you will not defile your body sexually. And as a married person, that you will, husband, truly love your wife, lead your family, be the spiritual leader in your home, that God will help you to protect that family. And as a wife, that God will help you submit, love, respect your husband in all things, in all things. Say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Savior. Help me, Master, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. Lord, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Daddy, you know us because you made us. You know our weaknesses. You know the things that we are struggling with. We want so much for our marriages to succeed, but we have challenges. Lord, today, whatever those challenges are, we bring at the feet of Jesus. Daddy, I pray for strength. Strength from within, in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, Father. We honor you and we adore you. Be thou exalted forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. I would like to appreciate my friend and brother, and also a member of our board of directors, Bishop Derek Thomas, and his wife, Pastor Quadjilit.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.